with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is a wonderful quote by St. Augustine, a doctor of the church, a father of the church, that I think positions us and orients us in our Advent preparations in what for many of us is also a very busy time of the year. St. Augustine said, "If the providence of God does not preside over human affairs, there is no point in busying oneself about religion." Get that? If the providence of God does not preside over human affairs, there is no point in busying oneself about religion. Providence. Providence is not blind fate. Providence is not destiny. Providence is the recognition that God created all things for a purpose, and each of those things fulfills that purpose. The Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us that creation is good, yet it is also incomplete. The universe was created in a state of journeying toward an ultimate perfection yet to be attained. The guidance of God along this journey is divine. We are on a journey to our ultimate perfection. Not there yet, but we are on that journey. For providence to preside over human affairs means we believe that God never abandons us on this journey to perfection, and that God's will for us is our salvation. We read in 1 Timothy, "God wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." That is God's will. But remember, human freedom is also God's will, which is where we come into the picture. Last week, we've been speaking about the ongoing National Eucharistic Revival instituted by the bishops here in the United States in response to that disturbing statistic that a significant number of Catholics do not believe of the real presence of Christ in the universe. Why is that? Why does that problem even exist? The church clearly teaches that Christ is truly and substantially present in the Eucharist. We, all of us here, believe that, but I often have to stop and ask myself, and I invite you to do the same, do my actions always support that belief? This is what our bishop is trying to get at, I think, when he asks for silence in the church. It's because when we enter a Catholic church, we are entering a sacred space where Christ is truly present. And our actions should show that, should demonstrate that. But they go beyond that. It's just the beginning. Trusting in God's providence and divine providence means living a life that makes our faith evident after we leave the doors of this church and go about our business, our human affairs. This is what St. Augustine is getting at when he said, if the providence of God does not preside over human affairs, there is no point in busying oneself about religion. Divine providence means it's faith in our belief that God is omnipresent and he is active in governing every event in human history. For us, it poses a question that we must ultimately answer. If Catholicism, being Catholic, were a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict us? As a Eucharistic people, when we leave this church, the people we encounter outside these doors must find our way of life so appealing that they want to be like us. This is what John the Baptist meant when he said, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Trust in divine providence means I put my life entirely in God's hands, in accord with my state of life, my calling. It's my way of saying I truly believe that God loves me and only wants the best for me. Sadly, there are Catholics who misunderstand what their faith is all about. Some feel the purpose of religion is to serve me, to make me feel good. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I just don't get anything out of the Mass when I go. Think teenagers, right? I just don't get anything. The essence of the Catholic faith, the essence of the Mass, is salvation. Salvation. It's the worship of God. It's us giving God his due and allowing God to lead us into union with him and understanding that that is something that ultimately lies beyond ourselves. So, if I approach the Eucharist as some sort of therapeutic self-help, where I think it should make me feel good, well, when I receive the Eucharist in that way, I won't feel any differently than I did before. See, our Catholic faith is not simply a set of doctrines, a set of moral guidelines that need to be updated and accommodated to our own time so that we can feel good about ourselves. Our Catholic faith is belief in the promise of God that He will be with us until the end of the ages, a promise that He fulfills in the Eucharist and in the faith entrusted by Christ Himself to the apostles. Our Catholic faith is the surest possible way of achieving salvation. Salvation that we all long for. But that faith makes demands on us. It demands holiness on our part, not just because the church says so, but because God Himself is holy. And all of us, made in God's image, to accept anything other than holiness for us should be unthinkable. For John the Baptist, central figure in Advent, during this Advent season, for John the Baptist, the problem of sin was not so much that it caused suffering or that it merited punishment, but rather that sin is so utterly blasphemous. It is an insult to the holiness of God, which then means it is an insult to human nature itself. That's why, as we heard, John proclaimed an urgency for repentance and for a return to holiness. And when the scribes and the Pharisees came to John to be baptized, but without a spirit of repentance, he called them a brood of vipers. Even though they were the most powerful, most influential religious leaders of his day. It ultimately cost him his life. But he spoke the truth. John the Baptist, he spoke to an age that had grown very comfortable, even lazy in their spiritual lives. They were people who were very sure of themselves, very sure of the righteousness of their own designs. They were a people who had grown comfortable and even accepted sin. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. John the Baptist spoke to an age much like our own. His words are just as relevant today as they were then. I never heard Jesus say, "You decide for yourself." He said, "Repent, repent." Discipleship, our state of life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is counterculture. That's why many do not want to hear what we have to say. That's why the world's response is to laugh at us and ridicule the church and her teaching. So, ask yourself, why are we here today? In just a few minutes, we will take some bread and some wine, worth very little of themselves, and we will offer it along with ourselves. We will offer those gifts to God, who will take it and transform it into something of infinite value, and then give it back to us so that we can be similarly transformed. When we enter a Catholic church, we show great reverence to the tabernacle, And rightly so. Why? Because the real presence of Christ is there. Well, in the moments following our reception of Holy Communion, where is the real presence of Christ? It's in everybody who just received Him in Holy Communion. To give all of your attention to the tabernacle is to ignore all the other tabernacles that are sitting in the church and in the pews around you. It's not that the tabernacle is unimportant. It's that the church is now filled with tabernacles. Having received the Eucharist in Holy Communion, we are transformed into living, breathing tabernacles ourselves. In the incarnation that we focus our attention on in this season, God does something remarkable. Again, the Catechism of the Catholic Church echoes the words of another church father, St. Athanasius, who made the astounding comment, "The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in His divinity, assumed our nature so that He, made man, might make men gods." That's what we are called to. That's what God wants to transform us into. As our first Pope, St. Peter, said, God wants us to become partakers of the divine nature. To be so one with Him that we can't even distinguish, separate us from Him. When people look at us, they should see God. They should see Jesus. Becoming a partaker of the divine nature is astounding. It means we're changed. And that, of course, begins at our baptism. But baptism is an orienting sacrament. It orients us to the sacrament of sacraments, the Eucharist. And then, having received the Eucharist, we become like the Blessed Mother, like Mary, who carried God in her womb. What happened to Mary happens to us sacramentally as well when we receive the body and blood of our Lord. We become living tabernacles with our bodies like hers, holding the presence, the real presence of God Himself. This is the glory, the mystery of the Incarnation, the glory, the mystery of the Paschal Sacrifice. Trust in divine providence means that I believe that if Jesus is not Lord of all, then He is not Lord at all. Of course, all of us here today have made our choice to follow Jesus. But we are still on that journey that the Catechism spoke of. We have yet to arrive at our final destination. That means we can still get lost along the way. Trust in divine providence means listening to God, knowing that He is with us, guiding us, presiding over all human affairs, nourishing us with Himself, with the Eucharist, at every step of our journey, until we do reach that final destination. May we take this busy time of the year, but this precious season of Advent, and reflect on this absolutely astounding gift that God has given us.
Amen.